AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome in. It is ITL on Sports Grid. In This League, 3 hours of radio with your absolute favorite person in the world, Scott Bogman. Sick as hell, the Welsh. That's me. You can hear it. Can you hear it, Boggs? How bad do I sound sick?
I can hear it. I can tell. And I'm sure the people who listen to you a bunch can tell too, but yeah. Yesterday was worse. So you are definitely getting better 100%.
Great.
And it sounds like you're excited to be here and that you're, really, really ready to do two full hours of this show.
Yeah, that is right. 2 hours. The third hour is our boy KC Bubba. Just horrible takes as a Giants fan because he laughs in your face and he says the Serpentine jerseys are not good like you.
Well, those Serpentine jerseys are not good. So
yeah, the best. I saw another person get them and I was just like, come on, send it to me. Give me those things. Still shocked. There's a lot of shocking stuff.
You think the Diamondbacks are going to send you stuff after no. You literally said, I hope the Diamondbacks never win another game on Twitter?
Guess what? I might have genie powers because they're not winning another game.
Well, let me just tell you, you don't have any powers. There are no powers at all. They're just terrible.
Negative powers. I have negative powers.
That's true.
The negative.
If there's any powers you have, they're negative powers.
It's 100%. There's a lot of shocking stuff in this episode we're going to be doing. We are going to be talking about the ace that about started to cry because he couldn't use spider tech because he couldn't cheat. He was so upset that he couldn't cheat. He started crying. We're going to talk about that. The injuries continue to be shocking. And maybe more than anything, a friend of ours, a person that we've had on our podcast multiple times, went off yesterday, saying he's going to unleash the fury of all the stuff he knows. And it didn't go well. He gained a bunch of followers and he got picked up by Barstool, but
there's no way. It ends in a big weepy apology. So that's good. Yeah, I love that.
It didn't end great. So we're going to talk about that that conspiracy around baseball. We're going to talk about the crying cheating conspiracy that continues to mount on baseball. And there's a whole bunch more. We got some mock draft stuff. We've got NFL stuff. We've got Bubba. We've got everything. So don't go anywhere. In This League, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
ITL is on Patreon at patreon.com/ITL Army. Secret shows, access to us, rank lists, tons more. We have GroupMe rooms where you can hang out, have access to us and the rest of our community. There is tons and tons of fun stuff to improve your fantasy life and be a part of our little audio universe at patreon.com/ITL Army, little prospect top 500. You want those ranks? We got some dynasty fantasy football ranks. Ooh, super flex ranks. Ooh, all of that available and tons more fun stuff at patreon.com/ITL Army. Sign up today. Support your boys. We will be very appreciative. And Bogman will let you stay at his new house in Texas when he gets there. So he'll give you an IOU. First person to sign up as a captain gets a one-night stay at Bogman's new house in Texas.
Hey, I mean, I'm going to be living with my mom to take care of her, so you can have the chores for the day.
I'm doing you a favor.
It sounds like a day off to me. I'm all for it.
Bogman will set you up for the night. You're just gonna have some work to do. You're gonna have some jobs to do, and it'll be totally fine. It actually is making me think of this movie. We're gonna talk about it on a secret show coming up. It's crazy.
Haven't watched it yet.
So. All right, it's okay because I was sick and we didn't get to do it. We might actually literally, our next secret show might be a two-parter because we try to do two in a month. We've done a bad job about it. We get at least one. But I watched this movie called Willy's Wonderland. And if anyone wants to get ahead,
I think I've seen that before, but
well,
is that something we can talk about on the radio?
I think this might be a remake. Might be a PC version of the one you watched. It's not Wonderland's Willy.
Remember Willy's in Wonderland. Brooklyn Nine-Nine when he's like, I know what they're going to do. They're going to My Bear Lady me. And Hitchcock. And they're like, what is My Bear Lady? And he's like, I'm pretty sure it's a porn version of My Fair Lady.
Yeah, that's not what this is. A Nicolas Cage movie where, you know, give anything away, but the premise, it only made me think of this because like there's a job that has to be done in there and he takes it on. It's one of the silliest, stupidest movies I've ever seen in my life, but it's also intentionally trying to do it. He's essentially fighting off, Chuck E. Cheese characters in one of those places, and he gets hired to clean up the place because he's forced into it, and it is wild. And we'll talk about that because I was watching it, and also like I was sick and super sick. So, you know, like you almost have this unintentional high when you're sick, where you're just like dopey, and you're just like ugh. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, what is happening in this movie? Like, Nicolas Cage hasn't said a word. He's killing this squirrel. It is.
You're like, did I take too much Sudafed? Like, what is happening right now? Is this real or is this what peyote is? It sounds like.
It would be a great movie to have a lot of Sudafed on. So, a couple days ago, a person that we've had on our show a couple times, we had been introduced to, and, you know, he's taking time out for us, and he's got connections like deep into baseball and a lot of different stuff. Ryan Spader, the Ace of Spader on Twitter. Like I said, he's done two shows with us. I think he's been on Barstool before. He's an NML.
He's been on MLB Network.
He's been on MLB Network. He has a book, Incredible Baseball Stats. He's got connections with players through his Semper Fi fund, and he does lots of stuff. He's just connected in lots of different ways. And Spader's an interesting guy, former, Marine. So he's a vet. And Spader had been on, and it makes me laugh because we were just talking about this. I remember the time, like, it's one of those things. I don't know if Spader actually liked us because Spader loved I remember him going on and being like, oh, your Carl's Jr. is so funny. That bit is so funny because you're going to die. And it was like,
I was like, all right, we're getting real here, Spader, I guess. Yeah, so
it's not because it's a funny bit, it's because,
by the way, it's 2 years ago and I'm still alive.
So, yeah, you're like, ooh, so joke's on you.
Yeah, I win. Look at that. I survived the Carl's Jr.
So his time with us, and I think the last time it was drinky drink time on the podcast too. I'd have to go back and check. But like, Spader keeps it real, and Spader decided to keep it real the other day, and I don't think it went so well. So
it's an episode of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. Remember that? I don't like people messing with my phone.
That is exactly what it was.
When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
That was this. Now, Spader, I'm trying to even find them. I don't know if he deleted them or not. Spader's had an interesting like 24 hours. So I'm looking at this. He might have deleted them as I'm trying to get through here. Spader goes off with a whole bunch of tweets where he says, I'm done with this. I've had it. And I'm going to unleash some stuff. So he starts going off and saying things about baseball. You know, this team had a camera, very vague things, by the way. Oh, the Yankees did this one thing, and you know it because of these road splits. And unfortunately, and I think maybe he knows it, he created this thing where he's like, I'm unleashing all of, actually have it in this article here, because he got picked up by Barstool. He says, I've had enough. Here they are. So he's like, the Royals were the first team to use analytics and video department. The Yankees had cameras in all the fields pointing at the pitcher's glove, and he used home road splits as an example. Is insane. And then, you know, the Astros sign stealing method came from blah, blah, blah. Then he starts to name a couple players. He does a very specific one with Beltre, which was wild. And he's like, yeah. Beltre had a buddy with binoculars and a white shirt that he would wave if off speed was coming, this crazy one. And then, in my mind, the most ridiculous of all of them is he goes, this one hurts to say, my favorite player ever, quote, Chase Utley was the biggest cheater of all time. And then nothing else. That's all he says.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, you can't do that. So I don't
That'd
know.
Be what, like me saying, yeah, Chris Welch is Superman, just so everybody knows. Yeah. So like, there's no evidence to back it up at all. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. So
He has to know that he went about this the wrong way. Like, maybe you've had some conversations with some people, but he went on this tweet tirade, which I think was presented in the wrong way in the first place. Like, you know, he's like, I'm going to burn it down. And then it was just like a couple vague things that people knew. A couple, like the Beltre one was a serious one. He got,
well, the Dodgers thing, everybody knew, like the camera setting up thing. I feel like I had read about that like a bunch of times. So it felt like that was not breaking news. No surprise that Kansas City was the first one to use the analytics and all that stuff. I mean, they won a World Series on the back of some pretty good offense and the strength of their bullpen. You know, their starting rotation was decent too, but the bullpen was really good. So that's not that surprising. And then, like you said, the biggest one that makes you go, what? Is the Chase Utley was the biggest cheater of all time without providing any way.
Literally anything. Not even an example of what he did.
Yeah, no examples of how he is a cheater or what he did or anything. Just saying he's the biggest cheater of all time.
And he got called out for it by Eno. And it took like half a day because we did this on the baseball podcast where I saw kind of live happening. Eno was like, this is like, you got to be careful. He didn't at Spader, but he kind of subtweeted him being like, listen, you know, you can't do this type of stuff. You got to have some type of source. Using splits as your example is not good. Well, then, as I said on that podcast, tune in on the radio, we might cover it. And sure enough, Spader woke up or whatever, and he commented and he goes, you're wrong. I'm right. And you know, I'm right. That's how he goes at Eno. And Eno's like, no. And he essentially said,
provide
like,
some evidence. You could be right.
He said how you reported some of the stuff is inaccurate. He said another thing, and he said, and frankly, he said using home road splits with no sources is wrong. And frankly, I don't believe your Adrian Beltre one. So then Spader kind of like, I don't know what his point was. He kind of like attacked Eno again. And then after it goes, but we'll still have a beer. And it was like, what? Like, well, no, you're being like SE to him. I don't understand what's going on. Then it culminates more where this is what I think is, this is where the screw up was. And we'll have to do this going into the other break, but I'll tell you what it culminated to. But Spader then later goes, do not believe MLB. They are lying. And that's the biggest crux of this whole thing is what I think sparked him to do this is his frustration with baseball and them lying behind the scenes. But every approach was incorrect. And I think the main intention in his heart was MLB is lying. Don't believe this bull crap. And he intended to unleash some things to show, but he didn't. It was unsourced, unverified stuff. And it culminated into the next day. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break with the last tweet that he gave right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. And we have got some merch for you at inthisleague.fans. It's only for our fans, Bogman. inthisleague.fans. You can pick up Prospects Assemble, the shirt I'm wearing right now. You can get a little podcast artwork from our pods. We've got Boggs Jr. and tons more. Check it out, inthisleague.fans. Pick up some merch today, and we would appreciate it. Sport some ITL in the wild. So, you know, I feel bad talking about it because, like, we've known. I mean, not that, like, we talk with Spader. Like, we've had him on a couple times. I enjoy having him on, but he obviously, he's very locked into his opinions and how he treats baseball conversations and stuff like that. And I will tell you, he likes to talk baseball. Like, that's, I think, one of the reasons he liked coming on with us, because we're just open. Like, you can come on, you can curse, you can do whatever you want, hang out. We'll go through conversations. We don't take ourselves too serious. So we can be easy to have baseball conversations with. And I don't know if Spader hasn't had an outlet or anything like that, but what he decided to do, I think, had some intentions in the right place that I don't blame. Like, hey, I'm mad at baseball. I want to get this stuff out. But every step of it, I think, was the wrong tactic. You just unleashed some stuff you heard with no sources, nothing cited, vague information on top of it. And instead of I'm mad at baseball, you also started throwing players under the bus. If your intention was like, I want to out baseball so they really know what's going on, you don't, like, you got to do more. And I,
yeah,
maybe that is come to a head here, because, like I said, all this stuff happens, kind of goes at Eno. Then, to his credit, you got to understand this, man. He also got some, like, publicity. I think he gained about 6,000 followers through this, because Barstool Sports, White Sox Dave, wrote an article about that. I mean, literally, the article, the title of the article, Bogman, says Ryan Spader just unleashed an beep storm of cheating allegations against. So that's going to get hits. So people are jumping over it. The problem is, even in the article at the bottom, he goes, this is what White Sox Dave says. He says, I hate wrapping up blogs like this, but stay tuned. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot more whistleblowers that are going to come. But at the end of the day, it still keeps coming back to, what was the whistleblowing? It's just some random stuff. There wasn't anything that is going to get a headline on ESPN outside of someone's had enough and he went at it. So all of it in my eyes wasn't done in the right way, especially moving forward to attacking. And then here's how it's culminated, Bogman. On Thursday, as we're recording this, this happened 1 hour ago. So, but as people are listening to this, this is like 2 days old. Ryan Spader's tweet goes, I deeply regret everything that I said. It has turned my life upside down. It was a mistake, and I should not have reported on unfounded allegations. I sincerely apologize to all those impacted. It should not have happened. It will not happen again. Stick to stats.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I don't even know what we're doing here anymore.
Right. You're allowed to have an opinion, and you're allowed to say, these are the things that I've heard. But like Eno said, you know, he was really reporting these things. And if you're going to report something that happened and act like, you know, like Eno said to him, this evidence is, you know, proof, you got to have a little more. That's what we call journalistic integrity, you know, and Eno knows that because Eno's been a writer forever. I don't know that Spader is much of a writer, and maybe he is.
Well, I mean, he wrote a book. He wrote, but he's not an article writer. He's a book.
Right. That's what I mean.
Stats book.
Right. The stats book. Sure. But, like, you know, there's a writer and a journalist, I guess. And a journalist is someone that reports the news as it's happening and stuff. And you have to get sources, and you have to, you know, back up your stuff with evidence. That's why there are so many fact checkers at, you know, places like The Athletic and any newspaper or any news reporting place has all kinds of fact checkers. And, you know, you got to call back these people and say, hey, did you say this quote? Because the paper or the place you're working for doesn't want to be represented by someone who's making stuff up. And you know, Spader's not working for an outlet like that I know of.
And that's not his thing either. He's not, right. Like, he's not. Yes. And the reason it makes this even bigger, too, is, you know, to his credit, like, he does have sources. He does have people. He is friends with retired players and current players, and he has those relationships. And
but if you're going to put this stuff out there, you have to be able to put those people on record.
If you're going to put it out, like, I don't know, this is complicated, like, because he's not Eno, and I'm not sure he's trying to be Eno.
He could have said, these are the things that I've heard, instead of, I'm going to blow up everybody's world.
Yeah, like,
right?
Yeah, I
think the phrasing could have saved him a lot on this.
Tactfully, it could have done so much. You're 100% right about that. If it was more along the lines of, like, you know, start here. Baseball is lying. Don't believe anything. You don't think they don't know what's going on? Here's some stuff that I know that they were going to go, that were going, that they know happened via sources. And then do it like that. And then if you want to, you know, have more, then people are going to question you, and then you can source a little bit more, instead of like, here's what I've got.
Yeah.
Get ready.
This is gotcha. This is gotcha stuff.
And, yeah.
And that's why nobody likes a gotcha journalist, because it's not really fair.
But also, I also don't think he was trying to be a journalist. I think his intention, whatever it was, in frustration, or
I agree with you 100%. He wasn't trying to be a journalist, but when you're reporting news, whether you like it or not,
yeah,
you're a journalist, you know,
especially the after effect where you start attacking people. When people are questioning you, because, I mean, you don't see it. He obviously didn't see, like, how little information was really given. He just gave a little blurb, and it's like, we're just supposed to believe it. And then when, you know, like, Eno is a very respected writer. Like, he is at near the top of the list. Like, players know who he is, respect him. Players come to him to talk about grips and stuff like that. Like, he is near the top of the list. You don't then just attack them because they're questioning your tactics here, when all you said was Chase Utley's a cheater. And?
Yeah, like, right. How?
Give me one thing.
One example. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're both on it at the same time here. You have
to, like, you could also say example. A former teammate of Chase Utley said he was a cheater. Here's one example. Like, literally, even something. Just saying
give us
former
anything.
Teammates or something. Give us an idea of the source. All you said was Chase Utley is a cheater. That's what trolls do online. That's all trolls do online all day. I'm not saying that's what he was at all here, but that's randos do online, is they just go, oh, this guy sucks. That guy's bad. That guy's cheating. People see Jacob DeGrom touch his belt. He's a cheater. What? I mean, that has more factual information, by the way, than Chase Utley's a cheater. But
listen, look, you know, the troll aspect, and look, like we said, we've had conversations with Spader before, and I don't think he's a troll. He was enjoyable to talk baseball with, and he puts together incredible stats. His book is great. He's a smart dude. But like you just said, you know, this is troll reporting, and he's better than that. And he has to be better than that if this is what he's going to dive into. And he wasn't. And that is why the very next day, 24 hours later, you know, he sees his life is turned upside down, and he's, you know, writing apology tweets. And
I wonder what that is too, by the way. I wonder what that is, because I know he got attacked. I saw some of the brigade, if you know what I mean when I say that, the brigade online of tweeting him and being like, oh, so this wasn't about publicity and stuff like that. Like, listen, he gained a bunch of followers, and there's a big split in sports, and there's a cultural split, and it happens more on the back end, but there's a cultural split of, like, the writers, how do I want to say it? I'm trying to say this the right way. There's a cultural split of people that are like, this is how we go in life, and this is how we attach things, and the good. And then there's kind of the, like, we joke about everything barstool kind of thing.
Yeah,
these people don't like these people. Writers and stuff hate.
Well, that's why baseball's having such a hard time finding fans, because 50% of them are, you know, what you just said, 50% of them are jokey, troll, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like MLB memes and NFL memes
I'm sure dancing around how I want to say it, but there are two de facto groups, and Spader falls along the lines of, like, the, you know, he'll drink. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a couple of drinks when he was pulling this down. And he's right on our show and stuff, and they have fun, and they have less of a censor, and they're not offended and stuff like that. And then there's the other class. And when those, I don't think Spader is getting a pass from that certain class. Also, when you just didn't source, you attacked people. So I wonder what that looks like from a, from a your life has turned around. Probably lost some sources, maybe got yelled at by a couple people. I don't know what that ultimately really looks like, but when you say stick to stats, it's like, okay, you're not going to break information. But what was this whole thing, by the way? It was chaos. It was baseball chaos, and it's more of all of the infighting of baseball and unsubstantiated rumors with nothing is the worst thing we could get.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I honestly think that Spader brought this from a good point. He's tired of the hypocrisy in baseball. He's tired of the, you know, we're going to go after the grip stuff now when, you know, it hasn't been dealt with in decades. And, you know, it's ridiculous that we're going to suspend pitchers for 10 games. You can't replace them on your roster if they're suspended, by the way. You can't call someone up. That's part of the new rule. And we're going to do this in the middle of the season, but no one on the Astros got suspended at all. I still think that is a huge point that Carlos Rodon brought up the other day. And, you know, people are tired of it. Rob Manfred is doing an awful job at being the commissioner in baseball and trying to protect the game because everyone's upset right now.
Yeah, everybody's upset, and it's a bad look. This is a bad look for Spader. He knows it. It's a bad look for baseball. It creates more of the chaos, and it's unfortunate the amount of chaos because – it breeds more chaos, and you're seeing it. You're seeing now people involved on the outskirts of the game are blowing up and kind of losing themselves. Players are losing themselves. There's a crazy one. We got speaking of the Barstool crew, I saw this from Jared Carrabas, but it's everywhere. This video that we're going to share of a pitcher almost crying over the thought of not being able to grip the ball. It's crazy. So don't go anywhere. Cover more right here on ITL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
I just can't. It's hard. I mean, it's so hard to grip the ball. I just, you know, I mean.
You know, I mean. What? I don't need to be that rude, but
that's about what it deserves.
So. That sound, that voice was Gerrit Cole talking about spider tack grip in a press conference. John Boy is the one that put it out there, and woof. We can play the whole audio here in a second, but like this last week has been us sharing, you know, we've had the other thing that's hilarious about this is like we had the Tyler Glass now conversation, which he did not hold back in his Zoom. We had to beep stuff out of our podcast. And Carlos Rodon out there kind of aggressively talking. You know, we've had some guys being really aggressive. We're going to also talk about Zach Gallen going in. And then you get Gerrit Cole. And we're going to replay it from the top. This is Gerrit Cole. John Boy shared it from his post-press conference talking about the grip. And first listen to the almost crying as Carrabas
the shaky voice,
but also like he goes anti Glass now and gosh darn it, golly gee, like he's a good old country boy, a guy who would never cuss or use illegal substances. Gerrit Cole.
I just can't. It's hard. I mean, it's so hard to grip the ball. I just, you know, I mean, for Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the field has something, regardless if they're a pitcher or not, to help them control the ball. I think that I don't have a solution, but again, we are aligned in a lot of areas with the commissioner's office on this. And please just talk to us. Please just work with us. I know you have the hammer here, but you know, we've been living in a gray area for so long. I would just hate to see players get hurt. I would hate to see balls start flying at people's heads. I had a really tough time gripping the baseball tonight, especially early when it was windy. So I don't really care to be inflammatory here, Joel. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I got one suggestion. And I'm not trying to be like super mean or anything like that. Garrett Cole should never speak again. Cause I forgot about this when we started this. Garrett Cole's the one that got asked, have you ever used something? And he goes, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. He's got never speak again. Voice too. Like maybe he's just nervous to talk in front of a group or something.
He just shouldn't. Like the first time he couldn't answer a basic question where, like I told you, we did in the episode, Pete Alonso could go into his conspiracy theories confidently, but he couldn't answer a question. And now, I mean, I don't know how much you're getting from hearing it. If you watch the video, he legit looks like he's going to cry. And I'm not judging him from, I mean, like, cry all you want. Who cares? I'm not, you know, going to flame someone for crying. But maybe we don't need to cry about not being able to use spider tack.
Yeah. And is gripping a ball that hard? You know, he's like, it's so hard. It's so hard.
I don't disagree with that. It's not enough to cry about. It's like when I talk to my kids, like I have to parent my kids. I don't want to ever be mean. And I, you know, if kids get upset, but I'll be like, buddy, this isn't something we cry about. Like there are things that we could cry about, but like, we don't need to cry because I told you to turn off your video game and it's time to go to bed like that. Right. You know, it's that type of thing. Like Garrett, like we don't need to cry about not being able to use an illegal substance, bud.
We don't need to throw a fit, pal.
All right, like, pal. Like, you know, let's
just relax.
Hey buddy, let's pick it up. Let's go brush our teeth and let's go night, night. All right, Garrett, let's do that. And he's like,
It's so hard to not play my video game right now. It's just so hard.
It's so hard. But all that aside, I actually do think I understand the frustration that how difficult it is to consistently and confidently be able to throw the ball like they do. But
sure,
at the same time,
I'm not belittling the pitching process.
Well,
I'm
I'm
belittling the crying about it. That's what I'm belittling.
But you're saying like, how hard is it to grip? Like, I think it is difficult. I'm with Tyler Glass now and where he said like, just stopping when baseball knew, by the way, they clearly knew, but to just stop on a dime mid-season, I think it's a bad play. They needed to do something about it. They needed to work with the players. So I get all of that type of stuff. But
it's pretty bad when the fantasy community can be the shining example for baseball. Like the example I would say here of the fantasy community is, you know, we don't change rules after the season starts, right? It's a pretty basic thing. You're not going to change stats. You're not going to change pickup rules. You're not going to change stuff until the season comes to a close. You can discuss those issues and changes for the next year. That is exactly what baseball is doing. And, you know, like I said on ITL, sure, you can sit here and say, well, the rule's been on the books. They haven't enforced the damn rule for 50 years.
It's not even about that. It's that they know. So, like, my point to parts of that was, like, I agree with them that they shouldn't just stop it halfway through the year. They could also work with the players and say, hey, listen, spider tack is off. Like, if you need to, we can help and we could do a mixture to help with that stuff. Okay. I'm in agreement that something should be worked there. And I'm in agreement that, you know, hey, listen, doing some of that stuff is tough. But one of the problems with this, and this is the thing that all these guys, they kind of shoo under the table. We see velocities thrown at levels we've never seen before. And we see spins more than ever. And we see pitchers do insane things ever before. Also because these guys were doing it. So Garrett Cole's like, oh man, it's so hard to throw my 100 and grip the ball properly. It's like, okay, but also it's because you did some of these things in an unfair advantage that you've become accustomed to, where if you had not, you probably would be trying to throw it at 97, 96 more comfortably. So like, you're so used to, and it's so tough to keep doing what I'm doing. But the reason you're doing some of this stuff is because you had this advantage. So everybody's culpable. But to like cry about it, like be mad, be like Glasnow. I'd rather my guy be like Glasnow and frustrated with the process. Also admit that they did it instead of going up there, not answering a question, and then like sitting there crying about how hard it is.
Yeah, dude. And I'm 100% with you. Like I don't hold a strong opinion one way or the other about MLB changing this rule, right? Like if this was done in the offseason and these guys are crying like this, I would have zero sympathy for them at all. I would just be like, dude, come on. Sorry. The rules are different now. Get on with it. You know, quit crying about it. This is what the rules are. And that's that. But it's not how they did it. They did it in a terrible way. This is what I was talking about with Rob Manfred and calling the trophy a piece of metal and not suspending any of the Astros players at all. Just the, you know, AJ Hinch and then the, you know, Lundhau and everybody else. So, you know, that's not the way to get this done. It's not the way to go about, like, this guy has paid an incredible amount of money. And look, I understand the commissioners take the heat, right? They have to make the hard decisions. They have to, you know, put, they're basically protecting the whole brand and making themselves look like,
yeah, they've got to do it behind the scenes, never speak and just be, make all these decisions behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to do a better job of representing the game and putting everyone's interest, you know, the players and the owners, not just yourself or one side, just the owners.
There's one collective thing that's become an agreement is that, management is culpable in a lot of this. It's not just the players as much as they want. Another big piece that dropped was our guy, Zach Allen, who, as we're recording this, is pitching tonight, returning from injury, and on return starts outing MLB executives. And he had some big words and he got called back out. I don't know if you saw that, but this article over on The Score we're checking out, he called out MLB executive Michael Hill, who was working as a Marlins general manager when he was there, saying that he encouraged the pitchers to use illegal substances. He said he was in charge of the organization that was definitely at one point, hey, quote, hey, you're going to need these things to help you. And then they asked him to respond or to expand on it. He said, you can read between the lines. Then Gallen added that he won't say anything more about MLB substance issues until Commissioner Manfred speaks about it publicly. That has been a big issue that's going on because Manfred won't say a damn thing. And then after, this is what's so bad about, I hate having these constant bad about baseball stuff, but look at this chaos we have going on. Michael Hill responded, and here was his response. He goes, it's predictable. Here it is. It's predictable that a player represented by a particular agent would Scott Boris, that is Zach Allen's agent, would make false accusations about me given my current role and the agent's obvious desire to distract people from the current issue surrounding the use of foreign substances. The assertions, however, are completely false. So outside of poor leadership, you also have baseball and the players' union trying to disassociate themselves to a further degree that Rob Manfred could let Tyler Glasnow, Rodon, Zach Gallen all openly to let Pete Alonso say everything that he's saying and not have a comment is how awful
it's
and inept he is. It's insane. And it is such a bad look. And there's got to be a point where baseball's talking about positives because there are none. They've got sources on the outside blowing things up, writers then blowing each other up. You've got players blowing up people in organizations and agents, and the fighting is at an absolute peak. And there's no leadership to speak of anywhere outside of the player. Like Gerrit Cole literally was like, please, he said, please talk to us, give us something, and they won't do anything. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolute chaos right now. And you know, where does the chaos start? It starts at the top with Rob Manfred. And that is why everyone is so harsh to Rob Manfred, because he is supposed to be the guy protecting the game and making sure that these aren't the narratives. You think these are the narratives we want to come on here and talk about? We don't want to come on here and talk about sticky grip and spider tack and Gerrit Cole crying in press conferences and, you know, people going after a person that we know in Spader. You know, we want to talk about the on-field product, but this is the biggest story in baseball right now. We have to cover it, you know?
You know, which is crazy, by the way. I just want to point out, we have a guy that is running away with a potential triple crown in the AL. one of the youngest players, superstars in baseball. And we have another player who is doing something that no one could possibly imagine, dominating on two sides of the baseball, is in some of the top hitting categories as a hitter, and has like a sub three ERA with a bunch of strikeouts. Shohei Ohtani, we should be talking about Ohtani, Tatis, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. all day long, but all we do is talk about unsubstantiated sources. Spider tack is more a popular term than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Ohtani right now.
Dude, I bet you, if you hashtag Vlad Jr. versus hashtag spider tack, spider tack is getting way more.
I'm surprised
right
Twitter
now
hasn't given spider tack its own hashtag with a little emoji icon on it. You know, like it's Loki and then spider tack, and it's going to have its own one. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. One positive piece of pitching news is, probably won't talk about baseball in the second half here, of all the issues, and you could tie it, as many people are, Jacob DeGrom went down on Wednesday night, and pitchers are dropping left and right once this substance stuff has changed. But the Mets received a positive report on his shoulder, and they said that it revealed the official diagnosis, and they're sending for a second opinion, but the outlook is good. So that's the bottom line, is the outlook is good on DeGrom. So we haven't lost him yet, as baseball doesn't cover anything. And you know what? We can't really deny that the change of the grip stuff isn't having an effect on pitchers.
It definitely is.
Yeah, it clearly is. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
The Diamondbacks will never win another game ever. The last time they won on the road, I had just turned 38 years old. April 25th was the last time, almost 2 months ago.
It was a Madison Bumgarner non-official no-hitter. That was the last win on the road.
The Diamondbacks have tied the modern era record of consecutive road losses as we are recording this. If the Zach Gallen start, where is that? Is that at home or away?
It's on the road.
So Zach Gallen start could
end. It's on
end,
right now, actually. As
could
recording.
End or break it. Could end or break it. The Diamondbacks, so bad. We talked about the trade rumors that they might start fielding some offers. Apparently, according to, I think it's the D-backs GM, that the phones are now ringing off the hook. It is absolutely blowing up because this team is the biggest trash pile. And they're, unfortunately, they're going to sell off. And I think, Boggs, if this is tough because like people already know if it happens, but assuming they lose, because that is the safe bet.
Because why wouldn't you?
And they break the record. I cannot imagine July 1st happens and there aren't some big changes on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there should be. And it's even a mess from the top down, too. And it's not Mike Hazen's fault, but Mike Hazen is taking time away from the team because his wife has brain cancer. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's terribly unfortunate for that to happen. And
which might be making some of the moves tougher to do right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're have, you know, they just brought in somebody new. I can't remember who it was, but to help in this transition time, and the assistant GM will obviously get a lot of work as well. But it's just a total complete mess right now with the Diamondbacks. You know, they fired the hitting coaches. That didn't do anything. They were up 7-0 two nights ago. Yastrzemski hits the grand slam in the ninth. I freak out with Bubba. And you know, that whole thing happened. They got the lead yesterday's game and blew it after the first inning. It is just a endless road of terribleness. And like I said, there's no end in sight. It has been terrible.
Yep, 22 straight losses, and you could be hearing this, and they could be up to like 24 by the time that happens. Diamondbacks worst in baseball, but at least that's only the littlest problem we have. Oh, wait, no, everything sucks. End of hour one. Don't go anywhere. Hour two in this league. We'll be right back.